Warning, the following program is not for the weak-hearted. Those who are closed-minded, or in general, you're scared to learn what's behind closed doors. Here at Sapphire's Airplay, I want you to pour the wine, grab somebody that you want to hold on to, or better yet, get the vibrations stimulated through your body. Get ready for one hell of an orgasm in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You motherfucker. What is up, all you sexy motherfuckers out there in Moan Land? It's your girl, Sapphire. And I am just so thrilled that I am able to do another Fuck Yo Valentine's Day. Now, for some people that are like, what the fuck is Fuck Yo Valentine's Day all about? Every year, and I mean for literally 15 years since Sapphire's Airplay has been around, I have always done an episode called Fuck Yo Valentine's Day. It actually started back in college when I was at SF State. And it was just a group of my girls and I. We would get together the weekend either leading up to Valentine's Day or the Valentine's Day weekend into a new week. And we would get fucking hammered from the Friday to the Saturday, or, you know, however we planned it, we would do this. To the point, we're still to this day. I've graduated, 2012. Do the math. 12 years ago. Still have not made Jello shots because I can never master the artistry of Jello shots. In fact, it became Jello soup, but it became one of my best sexual excursions one Valentine's Day weekend that led to me not only calling out the wrong chick's name, but also fucking the said chick that I called wrong name. That's what happens.
Wait, so hold on. You had sex with two women and called out one woman's name twice?
Pretty much. No. So one girl, I could say the name because, you know, I know they don't listen. It's been years. But one girl's name, and how many Ashas, Tashas are in the world? So fucking many. So it doesn't matter. So
you have one college friend who just now went, oh, shit.
Everybody knows. Nah. That person in particular knows this story. That person in particular definitely knows this story. So, the homegirl that you like. But I fucked a girl named Asha. And I kept calling her Tasha. To the point where Asha got salty and left. And I called Tasha. And I finished the job. That's what the fuck happened.
I mean, no one's going to argue or contest that you got game.
I mean, thank you. I hope you guys can hear the sir talking because it feels like it's one
side. Oh, I can hear me talking.
Oh, you can hear yourself talking. Okay, good. Good. I'm just making sure.
Wait, can everyone else hear me talking?
I hope they can. Shit.
Throw hearts up if you can hear me.
If you can. Oh, okay. We got a yes. Cool.
I muted myself on the app because you're recording it separately and I assumed it would go through the app.
No.
I mean, I can hear myself.
We can hear that delicious voice of yours, baby. So why are we gathering people on our date night? Why are we wining and dining these folks on Valentine's Day?
Because we think Valentine's Day is a concoction of a capitalist society that tries to exclude people who are single and make them feel bad about themselves.
I mean, throw some hearts up if y'all agree with that, because let's face it, Valentine's Day should be every fucking day. Whether you're in a relationship or not in a relationship, you should be loving on yourself every day. Now, I may call the kettle black, because literally a half an hour ago before this recording, I was singing in the shower, and I purposely like to sing off key. I actually can really sing, or sang, as some people say. I can actually really hold a note. But I tend to just like fuck around and just not, you know, give y'all a good musical, you know, taste when I'm in my crazy zones. And the sir politely came into the shower because he has to announce himself because I have a shower phobia. So anyways, my shower phobia gone. He comes in and he's like, as the man in this house. And I'm like, listen, motherfucker, first of all, you're not going to pull the whole, you know, hierarchy, high, holier than thou man up in this house. But we're going to play along with this. He's like, as the man of this house, I got two rules. And what were those rules, baby? Motherfucker. He's in the kitchen. Anyways, where a man should be. Okay? Fight me. If you...
Hold on.
seconds. No, your place is in the kitchen.
I needed wine.
There's a whole lot of wine going on, y'all. A whole lot of wine in this hour.
I'm so sorry, everyone. I didn't have the appropriate wine. the rules were...
All
of them?
No, just the two main rules that you were telling me in the shower. Okay,
the first one's unrelated to the conversation.
Okay,
but so I would like to clarify. I saw a thing on Pinterest once that talked about how a family had a rule that you are not allowed to shout at someone else from another room. And we live in a very small apartment and suffer from that constantly. So I think it's a good rule to live by. And so it's a matter of you have to go into the other room respectfully to speak to another person, not holler at them. But that's unrelated. The second rule was no self-deprecation, only self-aggrandization. So if you are going to make jokes about yourself, they have to be about how great you are, not about how shitty you are. Because the jokes about how shitty you are seep into your personality and you feel worse about yourself. I know they're jokes, but you make enough of them and you build an environment for yourself that you believe in.
I can agree with that.
That's for everyone. No more self-deprecation jokes.
And the audience, I think, agrees. But yeah, so no self-deprecating. So where was I with this? So yeah, so we were talking, I was singing, no self-deprecating. So back to the Valentine's Day. I need people to understand that Valentine's Day is a commercial holiday of straight bullshit, okay? It is straight bullshit. It is straight trash. Please stop, ladies. I'm going to talk to you real quick. Ladies, stop putting a price tag on your dates when you never had a date to begin with. And I'm talking about the ones that are getting all butt hurt about going out to the Cheesecake Factory for a first date on Valentine's Day. Okay? Fellas, rule of thumb. If you ask a person out on a date, you are agreeing to pay for the said date. Unless, if both parties agree to go Dutch, which means you pay for yours, you pay for mine, and I'll pay for mine. And you guys can still call that a date. I do it with my sir all the time. Let's face it, we live in LA. LA ain't cheap. Dating in LA, oh my God. Honestly, anybody who's going out tonight, God bless you. I hope you have a great night. I hope it ends with spectacular sex and no bowel movement problems, like nothing. Because right now in LA, you got me fucked up. LA at this point in dating, it's like, first of all, if you don't live within a 15 minute radius, forget it. All right. On top of that, you want me to go on a date, spend $200 when it already costs $50 to go outside your house. Because, they're going to charge you to breathe. Shit, you not. It's crazy. It's wild. So anyways, if you are on a date for Valentine's Day and, you're getting upset at where the said date is, please shut the fuck up. Because what were you doing before? You had no date. Now you have a date. Now you want to complain about where the date happened. If anybody wants to disagree, please come up or, send it in the chat. But I need people to be thankful if they were asked on a date. Oh, we got somebody up here.
I don't think I've once been on a first date where it was a huge issue. Like, short of someone I was intending on dating, which hasn't been for many years for our first date, I think all of our first dates were just for drinks. Even yours and I's was just four drinks.
And it literally was one drink.
I don't believe that.
It was one drink. I had to drive home.
Single drink?
I had a single drink.
No wonder we were able to keep our hands on ourselves. I mean,
it's not like the conversation was titillating. It's not like I didn't want to bring you around the corner to the house.
That's my point. If we'd had more drinks and the conversation was that scintillating, we would have been at your place.
No. Because if we had more drinks, I would have had to drop my car off or leave my car in the valley and at least one person in this chat right now understands that's a big no-no. It's a big no-no.
It was in Sherman Oaks. We weren't in the ghetto.
It doesn't matter. You don't leave your car in the valley, period, because the next morning it might be towed. Okay, the valley don't play.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You better have a bite of this before we finish recording, before it gets cold.
Okay.
I worked too hard on this fucking Valentine's Day dinner.
Okay, so here's the taste test. By the way,
For
the people at home that don't know and you've never experienced a chat with the sir and I, yes, the sir is white, but he's a different kind of white. He does put seasoning on that shit. Okay, and we're not just talking about salt and pepper. He puts in real seasoning beyond the salt and pepper. If you think salt and pepper is seasoning, please go take a cooking class from somebody who doesn't know how to cook.
Okay, no, hold on. Salt and pepper is seasoning.
It's not.
No, it is.
No,
legally,
it's not.
Legally, it is seasoning, but it should be your base layer and you should build from that. The same way you don't turn in an essay that's just a blank page.
No. Salt and pepper is what you call the basics. Like, you know, when you're at school and you got to take notes, that's note. You need to have a pencil.
It's literally what I just said.
Oh, hey, sorry. My bad. Y'all, this is like us. This is 24/7.
Hold on. I was going to tell them what I made.
But this shit is phenomenal.
I'm trying to look at the name of the recipe.
You should. Oh, somebody raised their hand.
I made Tuscan butter scallops that I would love to share with you all were that the case.
Wait, hold on.
Bring them up.
I did bring them up. Do you want your name said or would you like to be anonymous?
I'll be anonymous. Okay. Salt and pepper is the equivalent of writing your name and the date on the paper.
Exactly.
You have to do it technically, but that's all it is. I'm out.
I heard the equivalent of writing your name on the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you heard that right. Points. Mad points.
You're not wrong. I'm standing by that, but legally it is seasoning.
Nah, we're not gonna go with this legally bullshit. You know what we are gonna go into? Why do we label this polyamory edition?
This was supposed to be a chat about things.
This was a chat about dating things. So, okay. I don't know if y'all are hip right now of what's going on with polyamory in the media, but I have a bone to pick with Peacock. Okay, I'm talking about Peacock, the streaming channel of NBC. Peacock, why the fuck, the first show that you are displaying polyamory, you call it thruple to couple or couple to thruple, whatever the fuck, okay?
Because it's not about the relationships.
No, what pisses me off is that when people think polyamory, they always think that it's always about a three-way. First of all, baby,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about our dynamic. There are at least four people that we are equally fucking. Well, four people that I'm fucking. You, I'm only fucking one of your partners.
Are we talking about, just for clarity and to give everyone a delightful look into the constellation, are we talking about your girlfriend, your girlfriend's boyfriend, and the unofficial, new, let's call them the crush?
We can call them ghosty.
Sure.
Ghosty.
Yeah, but some people don't have context for what that means.
They got to go back to the older shows. Maybe two, three shows. Go back. Sapphire's Earplay on everything. MizRadioSapphire.com. If somebody would like to be my link sub, hint, hint, wink, wink, someone can drop my link tree, wink, wink. I'm not going to call them out necessarily. But if they would like to do me a favor and share it with everybody in the chat on Moan, that would be greatly appreciated right now. But also, God damn, this food is good. Y'all, the food is good. The food is fooding in my mouth.
I have one skill.
No, you don't. You have many skills. Your tongue, your dick, your fingers, your face. Anyways.
We're here to talk about polyamory.
Polyamory. Anyways, pissed me off that I watched the first like three episodes of this bullshit. And basically, it's talking about these couples who are open to the idea of polyamory. And of course, because, you know, it's the media, they think it's okay to say that polyamory is only evolving in a thruple hold. And I'm sorry to break y'all's bubble, but polyamory is however the fuck you want to identify it. Okay, it is multiple people in multiple relationships, whether it's exclusive, non-exclusive, but at the same time, it's not all sexually focused. And all of these, of course, because it's the media and you got to keep yourself entertained because, you know, polyamory life is so boring, which is really not in real life. It has to revolve around sex.
And you can't convince a media mogul to make a show about in like genuinely investing in relationships. They only know flash in the pan sex.
Yeah.
Investing. There's a thing in Hollywood that they say way too much. That is, will this sell to middle America? Meaning the center of the country, which is less than half of the population, maybe less than a third, where they are very focused on, can you sell this in Oklahoma? And to all the swingers in Oklahoma, I apologize, you're in the minority. Where the reason that they make the show all about sex is because they know that middle America will tune in for sex. America, the middle America will not tune in for polyamory, because that contrasts with their severe American values.
It's wild. It just, I don't understand if you're going to do a show and bring polyamory experts and experts that I actually know in real life. That's the craziest thing too. Like,
wait, I want to do you know in real life who's on that show?
I'll tell you later because I don't want to, it will make it too obvious.
They're on the show. Or is it just you don't
know? No, because I'm shit talking the show. So I don't want to, I want to keep my friends. Like,
it's not their fault. They got paid to come give expertise. It's not their fault that producers ignored them.
I think that's also why we were probably never called back for that show, because I made it very clear that I was not going to fuck on camera knowing that's what they wanted. Like, I'm sorry, but polyamory is not revolved always around sex. I've said this once and I've said it twice and I'll say it again until I am dead in the grave, dying from an orgy on the air. Okay. That is my aspiration. Yeah, I understand that sex sells, and I understand that, you know, being in an alternative relationship where a lot of hot people just want to fuck each other, but please put some respect on a lifestyle that I took time and effort and a lot of bullshit to come with it. If you're going to market it right. I bet you if there was a cuckolding show, y'all, y'all would be up in a tizzy too. Because it's not going to be displayed right. We've talked about this in other spaces. So it's like, let me just break it down. Okay. I found this really amusing, by the way, too. So there's been a shift as far as like polyamory and polyamory visibility. And yes, I could say, you know, the pandemic really did change a lot of people's, you know, eyes on how a relationship is defined, how it expands. You know, open relationships were not just, you know, oh, I'm gonna go do this, you do that. You know, polyamory became something, you know, everybody was starting to get on top of swinging. In fact, Match.com, they did a study earlier this year in January, and they were talking about that 11% of the like 2,000 users are now, you know, toying around with the fact of polyamory. They said, you know, this is something that we are willing to try. We would like to see more visibility of, including swinging on top of that, which I was like, yay, hooray, this is great. Now, 38% of those said that their non-monogamous experiences help them better understand what they do and do not want and need in a relationship. And let me tell y'all, being in an alternative relationship, it has opened my eyes so much. Like, I was already an open person, but it has made me a better person, a better lover, and better just like in my communication. Because again, when you're in a monogamous relationship and you are literally tied down to the same body part, the same genitalia, the same sexual positions, it gets boring and we wonder why people step out of the relationships. But if you are true to yourself, if you're true to your partner, maybe with better communication, y'all can figure some shit out. And I think with polyamory and other alternative relationships, we can all agree that the communication is like chef's kiss. Now, if you disagree, put it in the chat.
Yeah, that's a case by case.
It's a case by case, but yeah, I mean,
we've had partners that we've brought into the constellation who were not up on communication.
Well, and they didn't last long either.
But that's true. That's what happens.
And, you know, I've said it before and we've talked about it. Like, vulnerability is kind of like necessary in all these types of relationships. You and I, we identify as polyamorous, not so much swinger. We do go to swinger events, but we ourselves do not swing.
For the audience, do you want to define the difference?
I would say, again, swinging is like expanding your exclusive romantic relationship to seek out other sexual partners. Not so much like a polyamorous relationship where you are seeking other relationships with multiple people and making it exclusive. Because yes, there's exclusivity in polyamory, even though it is many loves. Swinging, it's like you may just fuck them at a party, no communication after. Or you just, you know, only communicate with the said couple or the said swinger in swinger-like settings. Polyamory, it differs by the couple. It differs, you know, it changes by the person. I think it's a person-by-person basis. I don't want to say that there's a right and a wrong way other than if you are harming somebody intentionally in the polyamorous dynamic, then maybe polyamory is not for you. This is not the time to get, you know, jealous or to date a bunch of multiple people to make one person jealous. Like that.
I would say harming someone intentionally or carelessly. If you are not, like, if you hurt someone by accident, that's one thing. If you hurt someone because you have been careless, that's also your fault. Because you weren't trying to avoid harm while practicing non-monogamy, which is, because of the culture we live in, an easy thing to get emotionally hurt in if you aren't being very communicative. The trick, inherently, non-monogamy isn't hurtful unless you've grown up in a society that exclusively values monogamy.
Yeah. Yeah. I can agree with that. What would you say is like probably the hardship for you? Because you are the dom in pretty much, no, you are the dom in all the relationships. So, and you are a little bit more freeing with who you couple up with than I am. So what would you say, Bebe, sir suit and tie, what would you say is your biggest hurdle being polyamorous right now?
You want me to be honest about this?
No, I want you to lie. I want you to lie to all these good monsters that took time out of their Valentine's Day to come and sip wine. I hope y'all are sipping wine. If you don't sip wine, I hope you're sipping on some water, some juice, maybe smoking a little ganja or blowing bubbles. I just want people to be doing something while they're listening to us, okay? Maybe touch yourself. Consensually.
Do it.
Consensually.
Do it, Sagittarius. Sassy, open up that bubbly.
Hey, we're not supposed to be dropping names unless they wanted it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, do it, person in the chat. I apologize. I don't do this professionally.
You'll spank him later.
Absolutely, you will not.
He does got a boot. Y'all understand? It is so hard to not smack this man's booty because he's got ass. He's got a nice bubble butt. Anyways, back to it.
Okay.
Insecurities.
All seriousness. The hardest part for me, because I took to this lifestyle very easily, is navigating around my partner's comfort zones.
Ooh. Okay. Before we bring up this guest, write in the chat if you want to be acknowledged or anonymous.
It's I took my headphones off because I was getting a nasty reverb.
No, you're fine.
The thing for me is when it comes to jealousy,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have jealousy so much as I have FOMO. If my partners are playing with other partners who are not interested in me, that takes some processing. If they are, because I'm more attracted to women, I'm more attracted to AFAB people.
Explain what AFAB is, because not everybody
for those,
knows.
Unaware is those who are assigned female at birth, which specifically by that I mean like I've been attracted to nine bear. I had a few glasses of bourbon while I was cooking.
You motherfucking, you didn't. Wow. Wow. With that, I'm going to mute you.
No. Hold your tits.
Okay. Holding my titties.
I've had partners who are non-binary. I've had partners who are trans. I've had partners who are trans mask. And that's why I specify leaning more AFAB, but you know, the line is blurry. However, with all of that, so the more masculine someone leans, the less jealous I am or the less FOMO I have, because I am less interested, which is just kind of like, you know, the way the emotional dice roll for people. But I do have tremendous FOMO in general when I am not invited to a scene.
Yes, we've had those moments.
Right. Where I would like to be, and it's not because I feel entitled, it's because I feel left out. If you have a date with someone who is not interested in me and I have a date with someone separate, then I'm fine because we're doing our own thing. If you have a date with someone that is not interested in me and I have to sit at home alone and find something to do with myself, it can be harder. But honestly, that was earlier in our relationship, and it doesn't happen so much now, but when it does, I feel like I can roll with the punches pretty well, maybe because we've already done it a few times. And so the hardest part for me nowadays is when new partners are on the table and I need to navigate and ensure that the partners that I love and care about are comfortable and emotionally fine when a new person comes into the game.
That's understandable.
Because it requires a lot of communication and a lot of negotiation.
And someone else does agree in the chat. They don't like feeling left out either. I don't either. You know, it's a trigger for me. It really is. Now, I am so happy that this beautiful young goddess has blessed us. Sassy! Hey, beautiful.
I'm glad you think that I'm young.
You are. You know what? Listen, honey, you ain't out the grave. You still young in my eyes. And I've seen you. You age beautifully, okay? Fine wine. Chef's kiss.
Thank you.
So,
I'm getting some, like, echo here.
Oh, you're getting an echo?
Yeah.
Let's fix that. Okay, hopefully this is better.
Oh, there's like a delay. Oh, do what?
Keep talking?
It's far better now, yeah.
Perfect. So, you wanted to comment?
Yeah, well, I was going to comment first about the bubbly. Because I quit my 9-to-5 not too long ago. And after my last day, I saw there was a champagne called Empathy. And I was working in corporate America, like, you need to do, you know, you need to show empathy. I'm like, I just found in a bottle tonight. So, yeah, I want to eventually try it, but
I was going to say,
I thought it was hilarious.
Excellent.
We need to find that ASAP. ASAP.
I saw it at BevMo. So hopefully it's in BevMo out there as well. But yeah, I was like, it's literally empathy in a bottle. I'm like, yes. That's kind of empathy I can get behind.
When we can find orgasm in a bottle, we've truly peaked as a society.
Okay, first of all, I need orgasm in the bottle to give me a fucking orgasm. Now, I fucked a bottle, but that's a whole different story.
Don't say that. That's also super dangerous.
I know. I did some dangerous shit before you tied.
From like a science perspective.
Listen, before you and I decided to go down this wild polyamorous journey, you already know I've done a lot of questionable shit. I've done a lot of questionable people. And my pussy is still fire and intact.
I know, and I love you, but for the sake of your audience, I would like to say, don't fuck bottles.
Don't get blackout drunk. And full disclaimer, and no disrespect to the people in the chat, Don't get blackout drunk with your white friends. I know Cat Williams said it. I know Chris Rock has said it. Don't get blackout drunk with your white friends. That's the disclaimer. And the chat got quiet. No offense.
I was just trying to give you your space.
And I think a white person just left. I am so sorry.
And give our guest her space. Did we lose a white person?
I think we lost a white person. I'm so sorry for offending y'all. I said no offense.
We still got a crowd.
We do. Okay. Sassy. So.
Thank you. Shy actually pointed out the physics of it. Fuck. Names. I'm sorry.
I could suck on your uterus hole. I did not know that.
Yeah, the
I learned something new tonight.
Have you ever sucked Holy on a bottle shit. And then put your tongue in the mouth and it pulls your tongue in?
Oh, yeah.
It will do the same thing to your genitals.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, I don't want to prolapse the uterus. No, thank you.
Sassy, what do you think about this couple to thruple? Have you heard about it? Have you watched it yet?
Wait, watch what now?
Couple to Thruple. It's the show that I was just talking about on Peacock, talking about polyamory and exploring the other side of sexual relationships.
No, I don't watch network television though. One of my exes is one of my best friends. Like, we've been close friends for a very long time, and I call him my restaurant boyfriend because he goes out to new restaurants with me. My primary, my boyfriend, does not like to try different kinds of food, so I had those experiences with somebody else. It's not, and
I love that. We're
completely non-sexual, and I usually enjoy, you know, hanging out with him most of the time until he annoys the hell out of me. Then I tell him to stop doing that. So he's an ex for a reason.
But you know what? I love that, because did your boyfriend ever get upset? Because I know that there's like always that, I don't understand this. And maybe some of the men and women in the chat, I don't understand why people say you cannot be friends with the opposite sex. Like, I don't understand why it's so, like, such a hard hitting rule. Even in polyamory, y'all, like, same thing. People get weary if you go out on a friend date with the opposite sex or even the same sex. I'm like, if there's no sexual interaction and we're just going to dinner, like you said, you have a part, you know, your partner doesn't like to go out and try new things, and you found a platonic person who does like to try new restaurants. What's the problem with that?
He's also an ex of mine, so there's more like social stigma there, because one of my, like, somebody I knew I don't talk to anymore was like, I don't know why you're still friends with your ex. I'm thinking, just because we broke up doesn't mean we had to be enemies. It doesn't mean it's all over. It just didn't work out anymore.
I like that. And it should be that way, because, you know, if you know that there's no bad blood between you, that you guys can, you know, respectfully be in a friendship and respect the relationship, there should be no threat at all. And yet here we are today, still in 2024, and people are like, really trying to put a VIP pass, you know, to friendships. Oh, you can't go out with so-and-so tonight because, you know, every time you go out with so-and-so, you end up doing this. Like, the fuck? I'm coming home to you. Let me do my thing. I will come back.
I've probably got more trouble with the female friends than I ever have going out with him. So just saying, with girlfriends, anything like that. Yeah, that's been more trouble causing than him.
For sexual reasons or other?
Oh, I'm like Blanche Devereaux. I love men. I was also born in Georgia, so if I was a girl, I'd be Blanche. Ah. So just for
rowdy behavior, not for sexuality.
Yeah, for rowdy behavior. So I'm probably more likely to go out. I'm probably more going to be arrested going with a group of women than I am hanging out with guys. Just saying.
Fair enough.
Excellent.
So I am safer with people that want to keep me safe. And usually that's the men in my life, the men I interact with.
I just imagine you talking to the women in your life, being like, what are we doing tonight? And their response just being, we're going to live dangerously.
I just want one of my friends to say, we're going to go to church.
What?
We're going to church. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go to church at 11 o'clock at night. We're going to church. Church of my pussy.
Hey, there is the nightclub called The Church in downtown Denver. And it used to be a church.
And we call church or gay church out here the Abbey in West Hollywood. So there we go. There we go, Sassy. Ooh.
Is the church in Denver still open? Like, it's an active thing?
I have no idea. I haven't been clubbing in such a long time.
We have friends in Denver. Maybe we should go.
We have a few people in Denver, even on the Monab, where I'm like, shit, I'm ready. Show me your city. Go out and do the things. I want to get rowdy.
Unfortunately, I'm no longer near Denver, but yeah, the church was like back in my early 20s, and it wasn't bad. But yeah, there's Trax Denver, which is my favorite gay club. Ooh. Great music. Used to be great music, great DJ. Lots of fun. Felt totally safe there when I was younger. So
I miss club life, low-key. I really do. Especially like now that I'm more confident in my sexuality, I feel like I got to go out in a club and really like test the waters there. Because I do want, like, even though I'm polysaturated, for instance, I really do miss just the socialization and the fun mm-hmm. club nights and getting like a dirty dog. I don't know if anybody else knows what a dirty dog is, you know, where they have the hot dog stands on the street and they're bacon wrapped, or they have like a lotte style. It's so good at like 2:30 in the morning waiting on, you know, your booty call to hit you back, or, you know, trying to find a fucking taxi or a Lyft, because, you know, Lyft people are dumb in the club areas and they want to yell at you and you're yelling back at them and then they want to ditch you. But I kind of miss club life like that. I miss the freedom of dancing the night away, not knowing what to expect, and then wake up with a good story or a good ass hangover. I do miss it, but I don't miss the hangovers.
I miss going to IHOP after clubbing.
Oh, yes.
I miss going to IHOP when it was good. I'm so salty about IHOP.
Oh my God.
We used to do that every Thursday night. And then not only did they they like changed management and they changed their menu. And my friends and I got real shitty about it.
Oh my God. Someone disagree with you. It was good once, right?
There's a lot of restaurants that used to be good. No, no.
Oh, no.
At the chats. Waffle House does not win any awards.
Listen, I've never still been to a Waffle House. I know we've talked about it in another Moan chat. I've seen the Waffle House videos. Those motherfuckers are trained in black belt in waffles. I ain't dealing with that shit. I'm not. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm trying to eat and come down from my drunkenness, my highness. I don't want to have weave in my syrup, okay? I don't want to, you know, duck for cover because, you know, somebody decided to throw a chair. You don't know what I'm talking about? Just type in Waffle House fights. It's hilarious. Go to YouTube or wherever the kids go, the TikToks, you'll find it.
I'm going to have a new internet pastime thanks to this.
Oh, it is comedy.
Oh my God.
It is comedy. It's, you know what? If they ever try to bring a Waffle House to LA, I mean, it will definitely be in competition with certain Roscoe's. And I guarantee you, if they were to do like a Roscoe's versus Waffle House, my money's on Waffle House, because Roscoe's don't fuck around. Like, Roscoe people, they don't give a fuck. They're like, oh, you want to try to kill me? All right, I'm going to run the opposite direction. No, Waffle House is like, come on, motherfucker, let's go. I'll show you what a fight is. No, okay. No, I'm not fucking with
no,
that.
No, here's the thing. Roscoe's is
I can't believe
uniquely,
we talked about this.
No, I'm going to throw down over this shit. Because for those who don't know, I am from South Carolina. And that is... I grew up in South Carolina. I went to college in Georgia. I lived in North Carolina before I moved out here. And I move out here, and within my first month, my friend who went to college with me in Georgia is like, let's go get dinner. I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. Where do you want to go? She goes, Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. And I said, what the fuck is that? And we go and we walk in. And within 5 minutes, I'm looking at the paintings and the art and the decor. And I look at my friend and I go, where the hell have you brought me? And she just, this shit-eating grin on her face goes, this is what Californians think the South is like. And I nearly walked out. It was so awful.
You know, you like to shit talk a lot of things about California. And you know, this pussy is from California. This is grade A pussy from California.
I like to shit talk inauthentic things about California and about Los Angeles. And there's nothing more genuine than that pussy.
Okay. You win. You win.
I usually do.
I'm dead. So Sassy, since I have you up, and anybody else who would like to join, what's your experience with thruples or multiples? Do you find it exhausting? Do you enjoy it? Do you enjoy monogamy? Like, where are you on the scale right now on your journey of dating?
Right now, I mean, I have another partner. He's just very busy. And I haven't been able to see him for a while. And I did approve my boyfriend to see somebody at one time. And he went and saw her. And I did not take that well. Like, the logical part of my brain was like, cool, go ahead. The emotional part of my brain was raging bitch mode. So I learned a lot about myself and had to learn about setting boundaries with myself and finding out what works for me, what doesn't work for me. So I'm working on that quite a bit.
I'm glad you said that, because you know what? We were also, the sir and I, we were discussing about, you know, introducing other partners within your own relationship, regardless if you're going to sleep with them, you know, and include yourself, or, you know, just have them, as you said, you know, I'm assuming that your boyfriend at the time, you know, the person that you didn't approve, you were not sexually engaged with that other person, correct?
Right. We met her at a kink party, and she seemed really cool. You know, she's now former military, typically go along with vets and military personnel very well. And apparently she was super interested in him. They were texting back and forth. He asked if he could, you know, if it was okay to have sex with her. I gave him the go. And then back then our sex life wasn't great and we're still working on it, but I didn't realize just how much I neglected our relationship because I was working a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just did not take it well, because I thought I was going to be seeing somebody else that day possibly as well, and that didn't go through. So oof. I was like all kinds of all over in the bad zone. So, you know, I had to go through that pain and all that realization and, you know, all that irrational fear and survival mode for a long time and heal from it. But he also came up. It was also his first time seeing somebody else, mm-hmm. in a relationship. They negotiated during play. He came home with 3 hickeys on his chest. I did not take that very well.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, but then again, he and I did not communicate what was okay, what wasn't okay before he went and saw her. And I'm like, okay, but there's things we need to communicate and that we did not communicate beforehand. So now we know. And it was a very big learning experience for both of us.
I will say you bring something up that's very interesting, because I've had a similar situation where, baby, I'm gonna throw you under the bus respectfully. In our early stages of polyamory, Benjamin has like the same thing. Like, he went on a date, my plans fell through, or either my plans fell through to occupy my mind so it wouldn't go in a toxic, you know, frenzy, or I decided to stay home, which is always never a good thing, because my mind does go into a dark space whenever Ben is on a date. with someone else. I get very overprotective, but I also get into my head. I still have that insecurity, not as so much anymore with the help of therapy and the fact that we check in frequently and consistently when it comes to new partners, and we continue that conversation. But I remember he came back, and I know it's so stupid when I say it out loud, but when I mean I got triggered because there was hair dye that was not mine on his body. So I can understand where you come from on, you know, seeing the hickeys. And I don't even think it was something, sir, I don't think we actually, with that person in particular, I don't think we too had like really good guidelines. I was just kind of like, I always expect him to come back showered, or he goes straight to the shower before he says hi, kisses me. But it was like, he showered, he did the whole thing, but that dye was still on his body. And I could not look at him. I didn't want him to touch me. I didn't want him to be physical with me until that shit was completely erased.
Yeah. We should clarify, that was at the beginning of, or rather at the right end of quarantine.
Yes.
So
that's why I said, you know, before we really, like, we were polyamorous, but we weren't like polyamorous where now we're a little bit more comfortable.
Well, this was the first serious interest, not serious partner, but the first serious interest since we had moved in together.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of it. And also because quarantine fucked up a lot of everyone's feelings about their relationships towards each other. And a lot of people became, just look at the number of marriages and couples that moved in together during quarantine.
Yeah, it changed a lot. So, Sassy, before we go to our next guest speaker, what are the ways now, like moving forward, how do you manage the triggers? You know, if they were to ever come about.
You know, I had to learn how to be honest with myself and do some deep digging, mm-hmm. and just find out like where these issues are coming from. I did go see a therapist, but she wasn't a great fit for me because she was very much a yes woman. I would say things and she's like, oh, I love that. I'm thinking, I'm glad you love that, but I'm here for you to tell me how to unfuck myself.
Right.
I messed up in the head. I am here for a reason. Please help me fix myself. But I started going to address like my codependency issues and, you know, just a lot of issues I was having that were just deeply rooted, and I was uncovering a lot about myself. So I had to learn how to be honest with myself because I was going down some shame spirals, which is not a fun place to be. I was thinking, well, if I want to be shared, but I don't want to share him, does that make me a hypocrite? So I was, you know, just like being really hard on myself. And, you know, we've had these discussions, and I told my boyfriend, I told him, you know, I may not be okay with you having sex with other people, doing kink stuff, possibly sexual activity, I may never be okay with. Because that did send me to a place that just like was not good. And those hickeys took a few weeks to get rid of because they were deep. Oof. And there were three big ones across his chest. I'm like, I lent to you my boyfriend and he came back marked from you. I was not okay with that. And I tried to be direct with her the next day. I tried to cool off to my best ability. I texted her saying, I don't appreciate this. And my boyfriend was like, you came across as kind of mean. I'm thinking, I was just direct. I mean, I probably did come off strong because I was not happy about that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, having that reminder, I was like, you marked my boyfriend and he's not yours to mark. It's just like, mm-mm. It didn't sit right with me. So, you know, it was kind of like a landmine that I stepped on, and I also set it there myself without realizing it, and then forgetting it was there. And I went back and stepped on, and I'm like, oh, this is a learning experience. So very educational, because this happened back in June of last year. So the past 6 or 7 months have just been very eye-opening, and other things have happened in life. So there's just been a lot of self-work going on here.
I absolutely love that. And I think that's something very important, especially in polyamory, at least in like my experience, you know. And I'm glad that you said, you know, you really didn't know until you saw it. And sometimes the trigger points never really come up unless you're physically seeing it. And it's totally valid. You know, jealousy is a totally valid emotion. I hate it when polyamory experts, and I put this in quotations, which means I don't like it, try to say that you can't be jealous and be polyamorous. You absolutely can. What you can't be, however, is degrading your partner for going out and doing what you both agree to, which is date multiple people, whether it's you are doing the dating of multiple people or they are, or you both are, because there are people who are in polyamorous relationships and it's, you know, very one-sided. One person may go out and date multiple people and the other person doesn't, but they still identify as polyamorous because they are allowing the space to love more. It's just right now it's not for them. And so it's good that you were working through those insecurities and still hopefully working through those insecurities, because it's something we have to constantly remind ourselves.
And the thing is, I'm learning my boundaries. I'm learning what I'm okay with, what I'm not okay with, and the reasons why. And I'm being honest with yourself and with oneself is the most important thing, because if you can't be honest with yourself, you're going to deceive yourself, and that just ends up in a bad place.
Oof. Preach.
Sapphire, I was wondering.
Yes.
Is it appropriate to, I guess on the podcast, call me Chow? I was wondering if it's appropriate to contact the medical in that situation, because I feel like that's a boundary negotiation that needs to happen between the Hinge and the metamor. That isn't necessarily something to contact the metamor about personally.
So you want to take the lead with this
surprised.
One? I'm sorry, babe. What?
I was actually really surprised to hear that that she contacted the metamor, because we don't do that. I think that depends on who's negotiated it and what the conversation is. But it did surprise me, because that's not. I know there are couples who do that. We don't.
We don't do that.
Okay. There is no negotiation that happened, no structure that was placed. So like I said, it's just something I was not okay with. I was like, but I didn't get the full details. I didn't realize that while they were playing, she asked and he told her yes. I'm like, so there was a negotiation to have during play. I didn't have all the facts at the time.
Which is also and it's not bad, because again, you also got to know this person before they went on their solo date. So it was kind of like, because you said you met them at a party and then they went off and did their thing, correct?
Yeah, we met them at a party, and then separately sometime later, they were texting back and forth. She gave her both of us her number.
Right.
And because, you know, I thought that she could be, you know, she at least be a friend. And
See, that's the context that was missing. I didn't understand. Because if she's giving you the number, then it seems that's a very different situation.
Well, okay.
I did not give those details.
I will say, in my experience personally, even if I did get the contact, I try not to let. Because me, I'm very like, if I get triggered and I know that I know who Ben went on a date with and I have this person's number, there are parts of me that are like, oh, I got to text her and be like, what the fuck? But then I also have to remember, like, would the sir be doing this to me if I came back in the same condition? Probably not.
It's their relationship. If there's something that happens, let's say that you and Ben had agreed that Ben doesn't do anal sex with other people, and Ben had anal sex with somebody else. Your problem is with Ben. Your problem is not with that third party.
Correct. And it's just like I do say controversially, you know, when people go outside of the relationship and have an affairs, I need people to stop looking at the other woman and look at your main partner who stepped out of the relationship and be mad at that person. Because 9 out of 10 times, the affair happened under a lie. And if we're going to preach about, you know, women's empowerment, for instance, take it outside of the polyamorous aspect for a second. Chances are the man lied intentionally to say that he was not in a relationship to go out and get some strange. And probably lied to the said woman to be like, I am an emotionally available and physically available person. It's happened. I would like people in 2020. I'm sorry, what?
Do you all want to cringe about something that's worse than hair dye and hickeys?
Do we?
I'm gonna brace myself. Do we need to add a trigger warning?
No, it's not. You don't really need to add a
Sapphire
trigger warning.
Sapphire loves a cringe.
I love a cringe, but I also respect, you know, as a...
just trigger warning nasty. Yeah.
And then after that, Subby Sav has... Ah, fuck.
Yeah, you're done. After you're not that, calling out anything.
A person in the chat has a question. You can edit it.
Ben, why don't you just like use your thumb and like cover up everyone's name?
That's really what I ought to do.
He really needs to, because he's not the one that's gonna
post it.
I don't deal in podcasting.
No, you don't. You don't.
You're a bad admin. I'm admin shaming. So I was dating this guy, and I'm gonna call him Bob. And Bob and I were dating, and he was dating Alice as well. And I knew that. And he had gone on a date with Alice. And then the next day, he and I had a date, and we get into the shower to get cleaned up for sex, and I start blowing him, and I'm like, wait, and you can guess. He didn't shower between fucking this girl and getting in the shower with me.
I've definitely had that happen, and I don't like it.
And I could taste, and I was like, are you kidding? Because I didn't agree to fluid bond with this girl, because now I've indirectly fluid bonded with this person who, like, I've never seen this girl's test results. I don't know any of this shit. And he wanted me to become buddy-buddy, like, friends with her. And I was like, fuck that. So he kept on trying to introduce us. And so I cut him off. Because I'm not a kitchen table poly person all the time. And I know that's, like, kind of, like, I don't understand the people who insist that if you don't do kitchen poly, table poly, that you're not really poly. Some people, like, just because we have we have a shared interest of fucking the same person doesn't mean I want to hang out with you. You know what I mean?
Oh, are you kidding me? That's me. again, this is why I said influencers or sexual, you know, polyamorous experts, and I put it in quotations because I'm sorry. If you, as a professional, and I need to see more credentials out there. If you are claiming to be giving people advice and people are taking your money and you are saying that the only way to polyamory is kitchen table polyamory, or, you know, OPP, fuck off kindly. And I hope you piss out razor blades. I'm so dead honest on this because I cannot stand it because it does not work for everybody. And to be honest, that's not true polyamory to me. But that could be for another episode.
I feel like a lot of times it's because people are projecting, like, it's this weird thing. It's like, you know, those partners that expect you to get into the same hobbies they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody will be like, oh, I like working on my car. So you also have to sit in the garage while I work on my car. It's like, no, fuck that. Just because you care about somebody doesn't mean I fucking do. So just because Bob cares about Alice doesn't mean I give a hot fuck about Alice. Sorry, I'm cursing so much. Doesn't mean I give a hot darn about Alice.
Did you just apologize for cussing? Do you know how many F words I say in a show? I need somebody to actually respectfully start counting, because the last time someone counted a couple years ago, apparently I said fuck like 300 times in an episode. And I was like, you are fucking out of your mind.
The wild part is that episode was only 12 minutes long.
What?
Love you, baby.
It's like the Cartman song. Yeah. Goddamn. Like, I don't understand. Like, honestly, that's part of what's driven me to, like, I'm a cuckoldress. I'm cuckoldress Shao, because I forgot to introduce myself. And the deal is that, like, I don't have the emotional energy to have more than one, what I call Costco person. You know what I mean? Like, do y'all go to like Costco's or Sam's Club or anything like that? Like,
yes.
That's like, or IKEA. That's like an endeavor. That's an emotion. That's emotional intimacy. That's the emotional equivalent of like anal, double anal. Like, I can only do that with a very select few people, and I'm not trying to have all this other shit. And I feel like what's happened is like with poly, there's been this big pressure with anti-hierarchical polyamory to push everyone to have identical relationships with everyone, when the reality is not every single person wants an emotionally intensive relationship.
Facts on facts on facts. Could not agree more.
And I feel like it's bordering on slut shaming when we're insisting that every single person has an identical, like, emotional relationship with everyone, because sometimes you just want to bang.
I mean, yes, like, but also, I mean, with polyamory, again, as I say to people, I think the misconception is that polyamory is associated with sex, and it's really not.
This is the problem, though. And I think the community has gone too far the other way, though, at the same time. And they, instead of being like, it can look like all these different kinds of ways, you know what I mean?
I think I understand what you're saying.
I feel like the stereotypes about polyamory being entirely about sex are absolutely a big problem in the mainstream. And I feel like but then what's happened with the polyamorous community is the insistence on the fact that, you know, it's emotional. That is true. I guess this is why I'm ethically non-monogamous and not instead of polyamorous. People forget that there's different levels of emotional intensity. Like, not every single person, you can have a polyamorous emotional fling with somebody that lasts like 3 months, and maybe they're not, you guys know, hey, you're like a do you know the term comet, right?
Yeah, like an orbiting body that, yes, comes through for a moment and then leaves.
Exactly. So a comet in polyamory, for the people that don't know in the chat, or the listeners, is somebody who, let's say, is in your area 3 months out of the year, and during that time you see each other, but otherwise, you know, you don't. You see each other when you're in town. And like, there's these different emotional styles, and this idea that like everyone has to have like, you know, the exact emotional intimacy and connection with every single person, I feel like it's kind of weirdly boring, and it makes it, you know what I mean? Like, it destroys kind of the variety,
well,
appeal of polyamory.
Yeah, you're right that trying to define it specifically to where if you're not building a relationship with everyone, it's not entirely fair. We've had some situations where we have to divide up and define the difference between how we practice polyamory, because while I don't spend each date and each time spent with another partner working to develop a significant emotional relationship, the way I define it isn't necessarily having an intense emotional relationship with each partner, but rather being open to one developing when the correct circumstances arise, which I do think is something that it starts out as sex. There's the freedom for more. And a lot of those anti-swinger, pro-polyamory advocates do tend to move away from, where they're like, no, well, that doesn't count because it's not about relationships, it's just about sex. And I'm like, well, the relationship can be there, it's just not yet.
I mean, everybody...
Real quick, though, I'm just want to let you know I need to step down, but thank you so much for having me up here tonight.
Of course, Sassy. Anytime, babe.
But y'all have a good night. Stay safe, okay?
You too. I do realize, like, time, and as far as, like, I usually wrap them up in an hour. I know that we did have a question in the chat talking about metamors, so if, Sir Benjamin, you would like to explain real quick what metamor means?
Certainly. And just because I'm covering my bases and I've had a few classes.
Yeah, no, you can't shout out anything. So you just.
I'm not. I just want to rephrase that. I can call the person who's currently up here by that name they gave.
Yes.
Wonderful. As Xiao had mentioned, Hinge, which is a term that I understand but haven't heard used before. When you have a non-monogamous dynamic where you are a V, where one person is dating two people and those two partners aren't dating each other, The person who is dating both people is referred to as a hinge. If you are either of the other person, then you're dating the hinge, and the person you're not dating is your metamour. Anytime you're in a relationship with someone, there are other partners that you aren't in a relationship where,
right,
or sorry, in a relationship with, are your metamours. And it's literally just a term to mean like extended, like disconnected from you partner.
I would say in our case, I'm dating Michelle. You fuck Michelle. Michelle has her partner, David, who you do not fuck.
Right.
But y'all are in the room and y'all hang out. That would be, yes, the V or the hinge of that relationship that we have.
Well, you and Michelle are hinges. David is my metamour.
Yes, David is your metamour.
Date.
Right. So I hope that is, we have someone who said, I'm in a three-way hinge relationship. That is beautiful. I love that. I'm going to go back to the chat and just make sure. And shout out to all the new people that just stepped in. We are live on the Moan app. This is going to be podcasted. I'm actually going to delete this recording from the Moan app because I want y'all to go and download this produced copy, which means it's still not going to be cut or anything. It's just, you know, intro, outro, cleanup of an audio, something nice.
I will clarify, literally everyone whose name I slipped up and said, put in the chat and said, you're good. So we don't have to cut anything.
Thank Christ on a stick, because
I'm sorry.
You should be sorry.
My field.
Okay, this is the only time I'm gonna dom you and be like, you should be sorry.
If you try to dom me, I will not give you dessert.
You are gonna give me dessert, because I'm gonna just sit on the face and take it.
No, I literally brought dessert.
Usually dessert means sex, but he actually means literal dessert to the nice, delicious meal that he made that was well seasoned with love and all my favorite things. And my nipples got real hard in the lingerie that I'm wearing that none of y'all can see. I was actually going to tape this, but then I realized there would have been a like nice gray blurred bar because my nipples are nippling. Maybe the selective flu, you know who you are, may get a little telegram message later. May.
What? So what dating apps are y'all on?
None.
We are on none. Because you know what? We don't need them.
No. That's not fair. We're not on them because
I don't need them.
Because you're banned. I'm kidding.
No, the only
it's
app
weird.
I'm banned
if you're
from
too
is
hot. They just kick you off.
Right. I wish that was
exactly.
The case.
No, we're not on them because honestly, let's be real, LA is a hard fucking city to live in, and we spend 20 hours out of 24 working. So we we don't have a lot of time to spend on dating apps.
Mm-mm.
And it takes so much time. I don't know what it's like in other places, but in Los Angeles, you get a lot of bots. You get a lot of like couples just looking for a unicorn.
And we don't do unicorning.
And we don't do unicorns. And it's like to filter out all the nonsense to find people who are legitimately worth hanging out with is time consuming. And I'd have the energy if I had more free time.
I mean, what's been happening lately is that we became members of this secret bar and literally, shit you not, true story. And I know this couple is going to probably listen to this episode. So shout out to them. It's funny because not a lick of our outfits stood out and said, yo, we're poly and we're freaky. But apparently my lipstick attracted the attention of a fellow woman and less than 5 minutes later, we all like sat down at the same table near each other and we all just kind of expressed in one big notion, like, you're poly. Oh, we should link up. We should come and have drinks.
More luck than dating apps
yes.
And finding people in person. Because in our experience, if you've been in the lifestyle for a while, it's not super difficult to sniff each other out
apparently,
in social settings.
Apparently so. But also I think that just like Benjamin and I, it's so weird when I call you Ben. So Benjamin, Sir Benjamin and I, it's funny because we also, when we go out, I wouldn't say like we're trying to attract attention. It's just
we dress loudly.
Yes, we dress loudly. Well, we make statements.
What lipstick were you wearing?
The same lipstick that you see in my current picture. That is the only lip color besides black I wear. I literally had to buy it on Amazon because they no longer sell it. Like, Maybelline does not even make this anymore. So it's like I'm kind of like one step away from like emailing them and be like, look, bitches, I'm gonna need y'all to restock for me.
Almost every time we go out, Sapphire goes, which lipstick? I'm like, Deep Purple, obviously.
And the Deep Purple has always worked. I don't know why. And then they're like, ooh, Sapphire, your hair, your lips. Okay, it makes sense. And I'm like, all right, cool. Thanks, y'all. Thank you. And it actually doesn't help that the actual lip color is called Sapphire. So it was just kind of kismet, if you like. I hope I use that. Oh, yeah, that's science.
They didn't tell you that?
Say what?
That's the official polyamory lipstick. They didn't tell you all that when you bought it?
Apparently not. It's a hit. To the point where I no longer, like, I had to get a separate one for the swinger parties because everybody wanted a fucking kiss.
I started a trend. It wasn't on purpose.
You motherfucker, you know you did it on purpose.
I like lipstick marks. I have a makeup kink.
You gonna get that makeup kink in a second, baby. All right, with that said, y'all, it's been great. I love y'all. But yeah, Benjamin's not lying. I think we are going in our 20th hour of working straight today. I've
been working since 5 a.m.
So have I-ish.
I know.
So yeah, it's time for us to fuck, plop, smoke, and go to bed.
Dessert.
On all fours. And lots of wetness. I hope y'all enjoyed spending your Valentine's Day evening. For some, oh, look at the little horny signs. Oh, thank you guys for the devil horns. I love y'all so much. I really do love you guys. I know I've been busy and I keep saying that I was going to come out and do some specials. So I really want to just say thank you guys. My monsters, y'all are the fucking best. Thank you. Benjamin, where can they find you?
Oh, hell. I'm on the Instagram. my handle is...
The Old Ben River.
Thank you. I was pulling it up.
Oh, Lord, have mercy on the stick. We're gonna get you hip, especially if you're trying to put babies in me. Like, it's going to be embarrassing if your damn kids are more tech savvy. Well, that's always the case. That's me.
Your kids should be more tech savvy than you. That's how time works.
Nah.
Anyways, I'm on the Instagram at The Old Ben River.
Oh, my God.
That's it. I don't have another... social media app.
And I'm Ms. Radio Sapphire and Sapphire's Earplay on Instagram. MSRADIO SAPPHIRE SAPPHIRE EARPLAY or MsRadioSapphire.com. People keep asking me about the Twitter. I made a Twitter, but it's strictly for traffic, and I'm real scared because I already got threatened to get taken down, so I would share it, but I can't.
Another one?
I did, but I already got threatened by the Elon Musty Dusty Butt to get taken down again.
Sorry, by the who?
You, that motherfucker.
The Musky Duskies?
The Musky Dusky Butt. All right, so that's it. There's going to be a very special Horny for Horror episode. It was supposed to launch in February of this month, but it's actually going to be pushed to March. And you get to see me with a special guest in lingerie. And it's going to be fucking amazing because there's a lot of sexual tension.
We're filming it if you subscribe.
We are filming it. It's going to be, you know, dropping on Spotify. For their video subscription. So if you guys want to see me in some lingerie along with my guests, subscribe now because the shit is fire. Of course, there's the Mandy Mayhem episode, which you guys subscribe and get that. It's only $2.99. It's great. Great episode. And of course, all the audio of Sapphire's Airplay will remain free and available on all podcasting platforms. And thank you to all the earbuds and monsters who continue to stream Sapphire's Airplay after 15 motherfucking years. Yes, the anniversary of Sapphire's Airplay is coming up in August, and I'm really trying to plan something big, so y'all stay tuned. With that said, safe sex is the best hot sex. Till next time, good night, y'all.
That was the show, all you sexy motherfuckers out there. Remember to follow at Ms. Radio Sapphire and Sapphire's Earplay on Instagram. Want some eargasms of the past and future? Make sure to follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all streaming platforms.